Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 19. And it's entitled, Saul Tries to Kill David. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan was very fond of David and warned him, My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you and will tell you what I find out. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath, As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. So Jonathan called David and told him the whole conversation. He brought him to Saul, and David was with Saul as before. Once more war broke out, and David went out and fought the Philistines. He struck them with such force that they fled before him. But an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand. While David was playing the harp, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear. But David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. That night, David made good his escape. Saul sent men to David's house to watch it and kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, If you don't run for your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed. So Michal let David down through a window, and he fled and escaped. Then Michal took an idol and laid it on the bed, covering it with a garment and putting some goat's hair on the head. When Saul sent the men to capture David, Michal said, He is ill. Then Saul sent the men back to see David and told them, Bring him up to me in his bed so that I may kill him. But when the men entered, there was the idol in the bed and at the head was some goat's hair. Saul said to Michal, Why did you deceive me like this and send my enemy away so that he escaped? Michal told him, He said to me, Let me get away. Why should I kill you? When David had fled and made his escape, he went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. Then he and Samuel went to Noeth and stayed there. Word came to Saul, David is in Noeth at Ramah, so he sent men to capture him. But when they saw a group of prophets prophesying with Samuel standing there as their leader, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they also prophesied. Saul was told about it, and he sent more men, and they prophesied too. Saul sent men a third time, and they also prophesied. Finally, he himself left for Ramah and went to the great cistern at Sekhu, and he asked, Where are Samuel and David? Over in Noeth at Ramah, they said. So Saul went to Noeth at Ramah, but the Spirit of God came even upon him, and he walked along prophesying until he came to Noeth. He stripped off his robes and also prophesied in Samuel's presence. He lay that way all that day and night. This is why people say, Is Saul also among the prophets? May God bless the reading of his word.
Take out your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel 19. It's also in your bulletin for your convenience, 1 Samuel chapter 19. As we look at the life of David, I don't know what week we're in, 4 or 5 of the life of David. He spends an inordinate amount of his life being chased through the wilderness and just having people try to kill him. And I thought, that doesn't seem to be the nicest kind of life. Why does God do that to us? This chapter in particular, you see how God helps David by bringing various people into his life, and so that's the main focus of the chapter. God uses people to help us. But I thought, why does God even do it this way? Why not just go, I found David, here's a man after my own heart. I want him to be king. I've rejected Saul, so why not just give Saul a heart attack? Get him out of the way, bring David in, instead of have David go through day after day of having somebody try to kill him, chase him, go through all the hardship and all the struggle. By the way, God does the same thing in our lives. Our lives will be like David. That's why this is recorded in the scripture. This is what happens to a righteous man, and God puts it there so that you can go, you know something? This is what's going to happen in my life. My life is going to be full of struggle, and it's going to be full of hardship, and I'm waiting for the blessing, but for some reason, I got all these difficulties and all these hard times and difficult people, people that don't like me. I don't like that. Why doesn't God make it easier? So part of the question I've got there is, why do we go through hardships and hard times? And if there is a God, why does he let incredibly bad things happen to people? And these are incredibly bad things that happen to David, as he has to spend his life running, sleep in caves. That's not good. Not a good life. I've got a little question at the bottom, maybe part of the answer. Could it be that the hard times allow us to exercise our faith? The hard times are what bring us to God and change us for the good. And the hard times allow us to exercise our love muscles. Love muscles. Love for others. Here's a chapter when David, we'll talk about it in a little bit, he tries to kill David 7 times, by my count. 7 times Saul tries to kill David. And yet this is an opportunity for other people to come into David's life, exercise love and friendship, and say, we're here to help you, we're here beside you, we're going to stand up for you. And they love David. David loves them. And maybe that's what's happening in our lives. As God brings the difficult times into our lives, maybe he's doing that so that he can bring other people into our lives who will love us. And maybe he wants you to be that person who will love somebody else when they're going through these kind of struggles. Now, that's the whole sermon. You can now go to sleep. That's the point, right? We will go through these kind of difficulties and struggles. Why? Because God wants us to trust in him and to cling to him. And the only way you're going to do that is if it's hard. If it's easy, you won't. And he brings these difficulties into our lives so that we will look for help and we will find help from others who love us and we should love in return. This chapter, you see 3 people, and he kind of divides the chapter up 3 sections. As the writer writes this, he points out first there's Jonathan, and he concentrates on Jonathan. Then he leaves Jonathan alone. Then he concentrates on Michal or Michelle, however you want to pronounce that. I say Michal because that's the way it looks like in the Hebrew text. So it brings Michal in, and that's the middle of the chapter. And finally, it ends up with Samuel. And Samuel's there to help David. People that God brings into David's life for these kind of struggles. Textual tricks in the chapter. He has a growing increase of the number of attempts on David's life. That's how he writes the chapter, whoever fashions the material. In verses 1 through 10, there's 1 attempt to kill David. Saul throws his spear. Now, some people count 2. They count verse 1 in his attempt when Saul says to all his attendants, hey, go kill David. Jonathan says, I don't think we should. Verses 1 through 10 ends up Saul sitting on his throne. David's playing his harp. Saul takes his spear, tries to pin him to the wall. David escapes. Verses 11 through 17, 2 attempts to kill David. Saul says to his messengers, wait outside his house. Wait for him. And when you see him coming out, get him. Kill him, bring him to me. They go to get David, to arrest him. Michal says, David can't come out and play today. He's sick. So they go back to Saul. He couldn't come, he's sick. Saul says, I don't care if he's sick. You go and get him, even if he's in his bed, and bring him to me so I can kill him. So they go back to David's house. They knock on the door. Michal says, come on in. There he is laying in bed. They go, well, we don't care if he's laying in bed. We're taking him anyways. They go to take back the covers. There is a figure. The text calls it an idol. Maybe an idol or maybe it's just something else. And she's put goat hair on the top of it so that it kind of looks like somebody's head. Two attempts. Tricked. They, of course, bring Michal back to Saul. And Saul's upset. Why did you let him go? I wanted to arrest him. And Michal, again, great deception. She almost deceives too well. I had to let him go. He said, why should I kill you? So I let him go. Two attempts to capture David. Verses 18 through 24. Three attempts to capture David and Saul himself. So really it's four, but I like it better when it's one, two, three. I think the writer does it that way. He puts all three attempts to capture David and he adds the fourth to highlight it. Three attempts to capture David, altogether seven attempts in the chapter. To kill him, arrest him. And these are not the only attempts on his life that Saul will make. We saw some in the previous chapter. There will be some in the coming chapters. The highlight of the chapter is when David goes to see Samuel to escape from Saul. And as he goes and he hides with Samuel, Saul sends messengers, sends his men to arrest David there with Samuel. And when they come, Samuel is there leading the school of the prophets and prophesying. And there they are prophesying. And as these men come up to arrest David, they can't help themselves, but they start prophesying too. So word gets back to Saul. He sends a second group of men. And a second group of men come to arrest David. Now, these are hardened men who are willing to obey the king. And as they come to arrest David, there's Samuel again, still leading the prophets and prophesying. And they start prophesying. Saul's not quick. He sends a third group. Sends a third group of men. They come to Samuel to arrest David. They start prophesying. Saul goes, okay, I've got to get it done myself. I'm going to go get David. And he comes, and we read the text, and he finds out where he is, and while he's on the road to get David, he starts prophesying on the road. When he gets to where David is, he strips naked, and he lays there for a day and a night. Now, that's weird, right? This is unusual. What's going on? I think the prophesying is some kind of an ecstatic experience, similar to speaking in tongues, being slain in the Spirit, where you are overwhelmed by the Spirit of God and you do strange things. I think that's what's going on. Because these individuals are not going there to join the worship service. That's not what's on their mind. And that's the furthest thing from Saul's mind. Notice what I've written there. Prophesying, it's probably some kind of ecstatic experience where you say things about God. You could be singing. You could be saying, God is great. God is good. God is great. God is good. But you're not in complete control of what is going on. It can be the result of the Spirit of God or an evil spirit. The previous chapter, it was an evil spirit that brought about the prophesying. As while Paul was prophesying, that's when he tried to kill David in the midst of his prophecy. Third point, it can be because of complete devotion to God. I think that's what Samuel's doing, as Samuel and the prophets are prophesying. Or you could just be going about your business. And as you come in contact with Samuel and the prophets, it overwhelms you and you join in. It can be because you've given yourself to God or you could have murderous thoughts on your mind. That's from 1 Samuel chapter 18. How do you judge whether ecstatic experiences are good? I think that's where you go to the New Testament. Those ecstatic experiences that result in you saying, Jesus is Lord, I love Jesus, those are good. And those ecstatic experiences where you come out not having any change of your life whatsoever, that's not from God. Those are not good ecstatic experiences. Okay? But this seems to be the highlight of the chapter. God has the ability to protect you through incredible means. He can use people, or he can use the power of the Holy Spirit to overwhelm someone who wants to do you harm. God can do that. He does it for David. How does David escape in the chapter? First of all, he ducks. I guess the point of this would be God helps those who help themselves. Sometimes you just have to duck. Sometimes somebody else has to help you out a window. Sometimes you have to run to somebody else with power, as David does with Samuel. Notice the last 2 points. So God brings people into our lives to help us. And hopefully that's what we are at Aaron Baptist Church. I think that's one of the reasons why we exist. We exist to help people. That's why we're here, to love people and help them as they go through troubles and struggles. And in that sense, we are Jonathan, and we are Michal, and we are Samuel. We're here to help people. Finally, God may want you to help somebody. That might be what he wants from your life. He might want you to love someone. If you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Psalm chapter 59. Not in your bulletin. Just listen as I read. Psalm chapter 59. This is the song that Saul writes, or the psalm that David writes. After Saul had sent the men to watch his house, and they're waiting there to arrest him. And David goes out, and David writes this poetry to describe what is going on in his life. And this is the psalm he writes after that night. And maybe this is what he writes while Samuel's prophesying in the chapter, or while he's sitting there listening to Samuel prophesy, he writes this song. Verse 1. Deliver me. Well, before we read verse 1, notice the title. For the directive music to the tune of Do Not Destroy of David, a miktam, when Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. Verse 1, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from bloodthirsty men. See how they lie in wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine, O Lord. I've done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight. O Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Show no mercy to wicked traitors. They return at evening, snarling like dogs, and prowl about the city. See what they spew from their mouths. They spew out swords from their lips, and they say, who can hear us? But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all those nations. O my strength, I watch for you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. God will go before me and will let me gloat over those who slander me. But do not kill them, O Lord, our shield, or my people will forget. In your might, make them wander about and bring them down. For the sins of their mouths, for the words of their lips, let them be caught in their pride. For the curses and lies they utter, consume them in wrath. Consume them till they are no more. Then it will be known to the ends of the earth that God rules over Jacob. They return at evening, snarling like dogs and prowl about the city. They wander about for food and howl if not satisfied. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. David, scared, running for his life, he stops and says, wait just a second. God, I trust in you. I trust in you. Please arise and deal with my enemies. And lo and behold, here comes the messengers of Saul. And they start to prophesy. And here comes Saul himself, murderous with rage, and he starts to prophesy. Because God is mighty. He is the Lord of hosts, my loving God. When I was a young man just starting in the ministry, my wife's father, Joanne's father, Pastor Robinson, was the pastor of our church. The church took me on as a pastoral intern. And I was just thinking, as I was working on this passage this week, how God brought somebody into my life who loved me and wanted to help me. And I was working there with the church and with my father-in-law for 4 months. And he helped me in so many ways. And this week I was just thinking, you know something? I wish he was still alive because of the love he showed me. And I'm not sure I showed him the love back that I should have. But for all the help that he gave me, it was like this chapter. God bringing people into your life who love you to help you. I remember the first sermon that I preached, I prepared, I thought I had an hour's worth of material, and I preached it in 10 minutes. And as the sermon was finished, the person leading the singing came up, and he says, okay, we're going to sing 2 songs. And they sang every verse just to stretch it out. And then the pastor came up to me afterwards. He goes, okay, here's what we need to do. And he sat down, he goes, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And then he says, and when you give an invitation, here are the things. And we sat down, we talked about that. And he goes, and when you lead the singing, you this is how you lead the singing, the old style way where you wave your hands. And just all the help that he gave me because of his love for me. And I believe God brings people into our lives who love us, who want to help us, and we should enjoy that. That's the presence of God coming into our lives, bringing us the help that we need when we need it. That's 1 Samuel chapter 19. First, there's Jonathan, who's willing to stand up to his father and say, Dad, you're sinning against David. He's done nothing wrong to you. You're sinning against him. And Saul says, you're right. And then there's his wife, who loved him. We talked about it, I think, last week. This is the only woman in the Bible who's said to love her husband. Right? That's unusual. It's surprising to me. Here's a woman who loved her husband, and she showed it. Protected his life. God brought her into his life to save him. And then there's Samuel. The prophet stands up for God, and when David comes to him, Samuel's not worried. What does he do? He has a worship service. Saul's coming. Soldiers are coming. Let's worship God, and God will take care of it. This week, who does God brought into your life? I think you should think about it. Who are those people that God has brought into my life to love me that I need to thank? Secondly, who is it that I should be loving as they go through struggles and as they go through hardship? How can I be God's hand in someone's life? Thirdly, even as we read this chapter, you don't see God in the chapter. But then as you read David's reflections on the chapter, He's trusting in God the whole time. He's relying upon God as he lives his life. God, help me. You're my strength. You're my fortress. My loving God. And I hope this week, as you go through your struggles, you can say the same thing. God is my strength, my shield, my fortress, my loving God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.